Now, Meiser, if you get a dollar, so one-tenth goes for tzedakah. That means if there's 10 dimes in a dollar, what's one of those 10? One dime. How much do you put in tzedakah? A dime. If you have $10, what's one out of 10? A dollar. That goes for tzedakah. Now, kinelach, when you get that dollar, Hashem says to you, 90 cents belongs to you, and one dime really doesn't even belong to you, it belongs to the poor person. Aye, if it belongs to the poor person, so why did I give it to you? You know why? Because with 90 cents, you can go shopping for yourself. With 10 cents, with that 10 cents, you give it for the mitzvah tzedakah to a poor person. I'm giving you that dime, and you should have the mitzvah tzedakah. But does it belong to you to keep for yourself, or it belongs to you that you should have the mitzvah of giving tzedakah with it? Now, when you give that tzedakah, you get a bracha from Hashem that the other 90 cents goes for good things. And you get a further bracha that you'll get more back. Whatever you give away, don't worry, Hashem will give you more back. If you get $10, $9 belongs to you, and $1 doesn't even belong to you. You know who it belongs to? Poor people. So why do you have it in your pocket? That you should be able to give it for the mitzvah of tzedakah. And when you do that, you get a bracha in your money that it should go for good things. This story is how Haman and his 10 sons saved the Jews. That's right. Now, of course, if you have a question, what do you mean, Rebbe? In the Megillah, Haman is a bad guy, and the 10 sons are bad guys, and they chas v'shalom made a gzeira to kill all the Jews. Well, I'm going to tell you a story how Haman and his 10 sons saved all the Jews. But you have to listen to this story very carefully. A long time ago was a town like many Yiddish towns, and they had a minhag on Purim. By the end of Purim, everybody would gather to the shul after they were finished with their suda, and they would have a special Purim spiel, a play, and they would act out the story of Purim. And whoever came, of course the whole town came, they donated some money, and the money went to tzedakah, and everybody had such a beautiful time, and of course this is a big excitement for the kiddies, and also for the mommies and tatties, and everybody to watch the actors act out the story of Purim. Now, in this town, a couple of weeks before Purim, after Meiriv, the men stayed in shul, and they said, let's pick the parts, who's going to play what during the Purim spiel. Okay, Chaim Yankel, you want to be Achashverosh? Okay. Rebero, you want to play Mordechai HaTzadik? Very good. Okay, who wants to play Queen Esther? Of course, nobody wants to be Queen Esther. There's only men over here in the play. So they made a bachur to be Queen Esther. They say, you have to be Queen Esther, the bachur. Okay, who's going to be Vashti? Okay, nobody wants to be Vashti. They picked another bachur. He has to be Vashti. He tried to get out of it. They wouldn't let him. Okay, who's going to be Haman? Now, Kinelach, this part was the part that they did not have to think about who's going to be, because every year the same person played Haman and his 10 sons. And I'll tell you who it was. There was a Yid, and he had 10 sons. He was a big, big man, and his sons were big, big boys. And the Tati played Haman, and his 10 sons played the 10 sons of Haman. Now, unfortunately, this family of the Tati with his 10 sons, sometimes they had some trouble in the town because sometimes the kids made fun of the 10 boys and they made fun of the Tati. Why did they make fun? Because their job was that they were the garbage collectors of the town. As we know, you know, we use things and what's left over is the garbage, so we put it outside and the garbage is taken away and we don't think about it too much. This Tati and his 10 sons, they were in charge of taking away all the garbage from the town. Now, of course, if you think about it, this is an important job. What if, Chas v'Shalom, the garbage was not taken away? There would be a lot of problems. I don't want to go into it. It's lunchtime over here. But it wouldn't be so nice for piles and piles of garbage to be just staying over there where the garbage is. So, really, most of the people who realized that this is a job that has to be done and somebody has to do it, so they appreciated the fact that these 10 big boys with their Tati took away the garbage. They would never dare make fun. But some of the people, some of the boys that didn't think too much and they were not too nice, they sometimes teased and called names and made fun of the garbage collector boys and the garbage collector Tati. After this story that I'm going to tell you, Kinalach, they never ever made fun again. Okay? And you're going to see how Haman and his 10 sons saved the Jews, and they never made fun of this family again. Now, since this play was so special, they had costumes, they made costumes, and they got ready and they practiced their parts every night after Maariv. And this year, the Tati, who was Haman and his 10 sons, they made these big, gigantic swords out of wood, and they covered them with like shiny stuff like tin foil. So they were very big. They had these big, gigantic swords that, of course, were not real, but they looked real. They were so huge. And they had all these different kind of costumes on. And they were practicing. Now, the day, sometime during the afternoon of Purim, they had a dress rehearsal. You know what a dress rehearsal is? Where they actually put on the costumes, and they practice one last time wearing their costumes. That particular day, something very, very dangerous was going on. On the other side of town, a group of Goyim had gotten together to make trouble for the Jews during the day of Purim. Now, on the Yiddish side of town, the Yiddish kiddies were busy giving shalach manis and matanos levyoinim. And of course they had heard the Megillah in the morning, and they were getting ready Sudas Purim, and all the different mitzvahs of Purim. And on the other side of the town, a whole bunch of troublemakers were getting ready, and they were planning to go to the Yiddish part of the town, and they were going to make a lot of trouble. And a lot of people were joining in with them, and they said, "Ha ha! We're going to ruin the Yiddish Purim. We're going to take away all their stuff and scare all the kids and take away all their shalach manis and take away all the money they gave to the poor people. We'll get it all for ourselves. I will do more stuff that's not so nice. Oh, we're going to have our own holiday today." And when it was getting later on in the day, this big group started coming from the other side of the town towards the Yiddish part of the town. And this was exactly the same time that in the shul they were having the last practice for the Purim spiel in the costumes. all of a sudden, screaming and shouting and yelling was going on, and this big group of goyim with sticks and swords and knives and all kinds of things started running toward the Yiddisha Kimmelah and all the Yidden doing all their mitzvahs for Purim. And all of a sudden, they started to scream, they were very afraid. And in the shul, they heard what was going on. They were so afraid. What are we going to do? What can we do to protect ourselves? All of a sudden, Haman and his 10 sons, in their costumes, the Tati said to the boys, "Let's go! Let's go get those troublemakers!" And they ran out of the shul, in their costumes, with their big, gigantic swords in the air. And they had these, like, you know, capes, these long things, and they were dressed in all these different colors. And they came running out of the shul, and the goyim thought, they had no idea what was coming at them, because they didn't know that there's a practice for a play going on. It looks like an army that came down from the Shemayim with gigantic swords, and they had red, by the way, they had red beards, all of them had big red beards, and the Tati was even bigger. And all of a sudden, they see these, like, malachim running after them with these gigantic swords. They got so scared, they started running the other way, they ran away, they went to their houses on the other side of the town, they went under the beds in the closets, crying and screaming, shaking, and they never made any trouble again for the Yidden. And of course, everybody had a big simcha, not only for Purim, but that Haman and his 10 sons saved the whole town. And of course, no one ever made fun of that family again. Nobody ever made fun of the Tati or the 10 boys again. Nobody ever teased. But they saw that everybody has a special thing to do, and you should never tease anyone.
Now, Kinnelach, there was a great, great Rebbe that you all know, Rabbi Akiva. Do you know how many Talmidim Rabbi Akiva had? Not only 31 or 400. You know how many he had? 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000 Talmidim. You know how much that is? That's more than 23,000 Talmidim. It's 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000. Now, Kinnelach, not only Rabbi Akiva taught them, and they were his students, and he made sure that they learned Torah. You know what else he did? Not only he took care of their neshamis, he took care of them, begashmias, which means he made sure that they had food, that they had clothes, that they had money, that they had a place to live, and he himself took care of these things. And some of the Talmidim were married, they had their own families, and they sat and learned Torah day and night, and he made sure that their families had everything they need, a house, and food, and clothes, and furniture, and tables, all these things that they need. Rabbi Akiva himself would go and make sure that they had the money. And he himself would go sometimes and collect the money and ask people to give the money. Do you know how much money it takes to help so many people? Sometimes millions of dollars. I mean, Rabbi Akiva Kinnelach had a lot to do. A lot to do. Now, there were people. Sometimes, you know, a regular person gave a little money, and sometimes there were very rich people that gave a lot of money. There were people that helped, and they gave Rabbi Akiva money for his Talmidim, and he made sure that they had their money and what they needed. But one time, Kinnelach, for whatever reason, Rabbi Akiva saw that now there was not enough money to give his Talmidim and their families. There was a lot of money that he needed, and he didn't have now any money. And it's coming up a time where they need money and food and everything. There's no money. What's he going to do? For whatever reason, there was no money. The people couldn't give, or maybe for whatever reason, there was just a time where he didn't get it yet. The fact is, the people need money and food every day, and there was no money. Rabbi Akiva was thinking, what should he do? All of a sudden, somebody came to Rabbi Akiva, and they told him that in a very big, beautiful house near the ocean, there lives a Roman lady. This is in the time of the Romans, Kindelach. This Roman lady happens to be a very nice lady. Now, a lot of the Romans were not nice, and a lot of the Romans made trouble. As we know, they destroyed the second base of Mikdash. But this particular lady happened to be a nice lady. She had respect for the Yidden, and especially for the Torah and the Talmidei Chachamim who learned Torah. She said, that's a very good thing. So they said to Rabbi Akiva, maybe this lady will lend you the money that you need. I don't know if you could ask her just to give it, but just to lend it, to borrow the money and you'll pay it back. After all, people say she's a nice lady and she's very, very wealthy. She's very rich. So Rabbi Akiva said, yes. Rabbi Akiva said, that's a good idea. Let me at least go and try, and I'll ask her for a loan. And Rabbi Akiva set out for the Roman lady's big, beautiful house. And he came there, and knocks on the door, and his servant opens the door and lets him in. And he goes into this big, beautiful house. And out comes the lady, dressed in a very beautiful, expensive clothes, and she smiles. And Rabbi Akiva says why he's there, and of course he says, he introduces himself who he is, and she says, oh yes, Rabbi Akiva, I've heard of you. And you say that you need a great amount of money for your students? Nikinalaftus is, you know, like $1 million. Doesn't say in the story exactly how much, but let's just say, because that's a lot of money, he needed $1 million. She says, I will be very, very happy to lend you $1 million, but there's a certain day that I'm going to need it back. Let's say, I mean, it doesn't say again in this story, let's say in 30 days. She says, there's a certain night, actually, that night I'm going to have the money back because I'll need the money. Right now, for the next 30 days, I don't need the money and I'll be very happy to lend it to you. But I'm going to have to make sure that the money gets back to me after 30 days because that following night I must have the money back. I need it for something. Rabbi Akiva says, that would be wonderful. Rabbi Akiva says, that would be wonderful if you could do that. And then the Roman lady says, but there's one more thing. When a person makes a loan, they have to have what's called arevim. That's called guarantors. You have to have two people to make sure that if anything happens that you can't pay it back, they take the responsibility that they will pay it back. Let's say something would happen, God forbid, that Rabbi Akiva could not pay it back. So the two people, they will make sure that the loan will be paid back. This is a thing which all loans have. Somebody to make sure. So the Roman lady says, Rabbi Akiva, of course I trust you, and I know that you're a very great holy man. You're a tzaddik. And I know that if you tell me you're going to pay me back, you will. But, of course, we never know what could happen. So please, I need two guarantors for the loan. And then I will give you the loan. Rabbi Akiva says, you know what? You pick. Fine. You pick whoever you want to make sure the loan is paid back. And the lady said, you know who I'm going to pick? I know who I'm going to pick. I want Hashem to be one and the ocean to be another. I pick Hashem and the ocean. Hashem and the great ocean. Okay? Those will be my two guarantors to make sure that the loan will be repaid. Hashem, I know he's everywhere and he's listening. And the ocean, oh, that's very great and very big. So I pick them to be my guarantors. And Rabbi Akiva accepted. And so Kenalach, during the time that Rabbi Akiva had to pay back the money, he collected money to be able to pay back. And at the end of the 30 days, he had all the money that he needed, the whole amount, to go to pay back the loan to the Roman lady. And that day, the 30th day, as Rabbi Akiva was about to take the money and go to her house, all of a sudden, he felt very, very sick. Oy vey, Rabbi Akiva says, I feel so sick. My stomach, my head. I better lie down in bed. And he went to bed, Kenlach. And Rabbi Akiva never was so sick before. He was so sick, he could not even talk. Oy, that's very sick. And he could not move, and he could not get up. And he lay in bed, and he saw the money there on the table, ready to go to the lady. He could not even speak to somebody to make a shliach and tell them that they should take the money to the Roman lady. All he could do was lay there in bed, and he could not even talk or get up. Oy, Rabbi Akiva felt bad. I can't get this money to the Roman lady. And I can't even send anybody. I can't even talk. And the whole day went by, and the money sat on the table, and Rabbi Akiva was in bed, and that was it. And that day, in the mansion, in the fancy, beautiful house of the Roman lady, she is waiting for Rabbi Akiva to come to pay her the money, because that night she needs the money. And she waits in the morning, and she waits in the afternoon, and now it's the late afternoon, and now the sun is going down, and she's looking out the window. Where is Rabbi Akiva? She said, I know that he will come today. Because if this great tzaddik said he's coming, I know for sure that he's coming. He will keep his word. And then the sun is almost, Kenalach, setting. And in a few minutes, that's going to be it. The sun, it looks like, is going into the ocean, because the sun sets on the side of the ocean in Eretz Yisrael. That's why it's called Ma'ariv. The west is called Ma'ariv, because that is when is the Erev. The word Erev, the evening, comes from the word, or is connected with the word Ma'ariv. Ma'ariv Zayit, the west side. The sun goes down. She says, it must be that something has happened to Rabbi Akiva that is not his fault. Some kind of an emergency. I hope he's not sick. Because if he said he's coming, I'm sure he would keep his word. Something must have happened that is out of his control, that it's not his fault. But still, I need that money back tonight. The sun is going down, and in a short time, it's going to be set, and then it's going to be night. And she went out of her palace, out of her beautiful mansion, and she took a walk down to the beach, and she looked out on the ocean, and she looked up into the sky, and she said, Hashem, I made you one of my guarantors. And the ocean I made the other guarantor to make sure that I get my money back, because I need it for a very important thing tonight. So please, I ask you, Hashem, and of course the ocean, I need my money back. It's very important. Please, give me the money that I need. And Kenalach, as this lady, this Roman lady, davened Because that was a davening. She talked to Hashem, and she meant it. She asked Hashem for what she needs. All of a sudden, a very interesting thing happened. On the other side of the ocean, the Roman princess from Rome, she was taking a walk, her late afternoon walk, and as she was walking, all of a sudden, she got a mishigas in her head. She got a strange idea in her head. All of a sudden, she runs into her tati's palace, the king of Rome. She goes into her father's palace, and she runs into the treasure house room, where her father keeps his treasures and his silver and gold and diamonds and jewels and fancy stuff. And all of a sudden, she takes a box, and she fills this box full of silver and gold and jewels and fancy things, and she takes the box to the ocean, and she throws it in the ocean. Did you ever hear such a thing? Echapter Mishigas and Cup. And she did this. And she herself didn't even know why she's doing this, but she did it. She takes a box of very valuable things from the treasure house and she throws it in the ocean. Finished. And Tinalach, the box goes in the ocean, and ordinarily a box full of this heavy kind of thing would just sink to the bottom. But the waves of the ocean start to move this box across wave after wave, and the waves are keeping the box up, and the waves are moving the box across the ocean, and the box is going very fast with the moving water from wave to wave across the ocean. And just as the sun is about to set into the ocean, of course it looks like it's going to the ocean, but it's not really, but it's going down in Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden the Roman lady, she sees something shooting out of the ocean. A big wave crashes, and she sees something like flying out of the ocean, and it comes right to her feet. And she looks down and she says, "What is that? It looks like a box." "Yes, it is a box." And she opens up the box and she sees inside, "Hey, look! Gold and diamonds and jewels and treasure things and very expensive fancy things in that box. Must be worth so much money." And she said, "Look, Hashem, you answered my davening, my prayers. You answered what I needed. I needed the money and you answered it. Look, you gave me back my money. Here you in the ocean." Of course, the ocean was a shliach. Does the ocean have the koyach by itself to do anything? Of course not. It's only a shliach. The waves are only a shliach for Hashem. And she took Kinalach, that box of money, and she used it for what she needed. And you know what? A lot of that was left over. After all the money that she needed, which was the amount of money that Rabbi Akiva was supposed to give her, there was so much money left over. And she kept it in the box. And a few days later, Kinalach, you know who comes to her house? Rabbi Akiva came to her house because now he had a refuah shlema. And he says to the lady, "I'm so sorry that I did not come on the 30th day. You have to know, I'm sorry, I wanted to come. I really wanted to come. I couldn't even move, I was so sick, and I couldn't talk, I couldn't even send anybody. I feel very bad, and you needed the money that night." And the Roman lady smiles, and she says, "Rabbi Akiva, don't worry about it. I got my money back." He says, "You got your money back? What do you mean? I brought it to you today. I have it here. I collected it during the whole 30 days. Here's the money I have to give you. What do you mean you got it back?" She says, "Don't you remember? I made 2 guarantors to give back the money, Hashem and the ocean. Well, they did it. I got my money back." And she told him the whole story. And she said, "First of all, since I got my money back, I will not need the money that you have. So you will take that money that you brought to me today and you will give it out to your students and their families or poor people, whoever you want to give it to, and you should give it for tzedakah. And not only that, You see the box that I got? There's a lot of money left. I want to give that also to you. And you should take that money also for your students and for the families and for the poor people. And that kinalach shows us the koyach of tefillah, not only of a yid, even of a not yid. Even somebody who's not a yid kinalach is connected with Hashem, and they have the sheva, this is b'nei noyach, and to believe in Hashem, and Hashem takes care of everyone in the world. And that is kinalach, that story.